Those of you that are here, those of you that are here, as was stated in the opening prayer by Mr. Gompers, we are privileged. We are privileged to be able to have our minds open and to see and hear what God wants us to see and hear today. Title of my message, that was the intro, the title of my message is God Wants Us to Rejoice and Be at Peace. You understand that? God wants you and me, God wants us to rejoice and be at peace. And I hope you're all well, warm inside our facility. Actually, it's kind of cold in here, and I saw the people going over the thermostat trying to turn off the air conditioner because it's not real hot in here. I can see outside and the sun's shining, and in the sun it's at least 25 degrees. We can't go out there. Now the world is not at peace. The world's not at peace. But inside here, reviewing God's word and reading what God has to say, we should be at peace. One of the reasons why the world is not at peace is because, thank you for smiling, one of the reasons that the world is not at peace is because it's becoming woke. Woke up? Is that what it means? Woke up? I woke up this morning, I wasn't dead. I'm happy. Woke rhymes with broke. And the world that I live in and that I see outside this room is mostly broken. It's not woken, it's broken. And I don't think that's what God wants. The world is woke, and it's becoming more broken daily. It's a mess. It's a mess, and it will not be straightened out until Jesus comes and changes the whole world. That's the truth. So now, let's go to God's word to see how that problem can and will be corrected. First, we need a little bit of historical background. So I'll begin by reading Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 1, that's right at the beginning of Deuteronomy. You know, the Old Testament is really very old. But it's right up to date, right up to date. Deuteronomy 1, verse 31 says, in the wilderness, you saw how the Eternal, your God, carried you. You ever read about how God carried Israel? Carried Israel. Carried them. Wait a minute, that's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. As a man carries his son, I've had a son, I've had a daughter, I've carried them. It was neat. You know why I carried them? I carried them not because they needed it, they'd run around all over the place, but I carried them because I loved them and it was fun and I liked to carry them. God carried Israel because they needed it. They needed it in the wilderness. God carried them. Yet, for all that, you, Israelites, did not believe the Eternal, your God. That's verse 32. God carried Israel in the wilderness. He took care of them. And yet for all that, they didn't believe God. God had worked miracles to bring Israel out of Egypt. Millions had witnessed those miracles. Yet time and again, the same millions had doubted that God would care for them again and again. They were being led to the physical land of Israel, a real place. We know where it is. You know, you can look on a map. Oh, you don't have to look on a map. All you have to do is watch television, see what's going on in Israel. But they were led to the physical promised land. But most of the Israelites that were being led out of Egypt did not believe they were going to make it. What about you? What about you? What about the promises that God has made to us? Do you think you're going to make it? You better believe you're going to make it. If you believe, how are you doing? How are you doing right now? How are you doing down the long road? And I know some of you have been on that long road for a long time. A long time. How are you doing? Are you getting tired? Do you ever get tired? Do you stumble more than you need to? I see a couple of walkers in here, you know? Do you stumble more than you need to? I do. Now, this can often be physically true. You know, we can talk about, yeah, we have old people and they need a wheelchair or a walker or something like that. That's physically true. But this is a metaphor. Mr. Gardenhire will tell you. Miller likes metaphors. You know, he'll tell you that. And I do, because it means a lot more than physically stumbling. Listen to this. Do you ever wobble down the hallway in your house? I do. I wobble down the hallway. We have a narrow hallway. Bam, bam, I can hit both walls, you know, with the elbows. And, you know, and then once in a while I fall. So what? Happens to all of us. But others, listen to what I'm saying. Others have wobbled before us. In the past, others have wobbled before us. And God always knew what they needed. God always knew what they needed, and God saved them. Please turn to Exodus 19. Let's read Exodus 19. Quite a bit here. I want to read Exodus 19 starting in verse 3, and I'll read verses 3 to 6. And Moses went up to God. Exodus 19, verse 3. Moses went up to God, and the Eternal called to him from the mountains. That's why he went up there, because the Eternal told him to come up. And God said to him, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you, Israelites, have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings." Now, how'd they come out of Egypt? Like that, you know? Had no motor cars, no boats. You know, they walked. What do they call that? Shanksmere? Whatever it is, whatever that expression is. They walked, but God said that he bore them on eagle's wings because that's our God, and that's the way he can do it. Bore you on eagle's wings, that's a metaphor, and brought you to myself. What? Wait a minute, brought you to myself. Where's myself? Look at a map, and I don't see myself on the map anywhere. But that's what God said. He said, "I want you to go over there, and that's where I am. I brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me, God, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words, God's speaking to Moses. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Essentially, God was telling Israel that he would rescue and protect and save them. But those words are to us, too. I mean, it's the very same thing to us today. Whether you're an Israelite or a spiritual Israelite, doesn't make any difference at all. Not one bit of difference. But they proved time and again that they simply did not trust or believe God. The question I have for us today and forever really is, do we believe God? Do we? Do we believe God? You know, we got God's word. Do we believe it? Now turn to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. We'll start at verse 9 to see that God used to care, but God still really cares. Isaiah 63, verse 9. And Isaiah wrote, and this is a couple thousand years later, well, not that long, but a few hundred years anyway later, Isaiah wrote, in all their affliction, and here we're talking about the challenges to physical Israel, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Wait a minute. In all their affliction, he was afflicted? Who is this he guy? That means God, in all their affliction, when they suffered, when you suffer, God suffers. God cares about us. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he knows what you're going through individually and collectively? That's what Isaiah was writing. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Will God save us? Well, we'll get there. Save them. In his love, God's love, and in his pity, he redeemed them. That word is powerful. It means they were in trouble, and he saved them out of trouble. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Like a father carries his kid on the shoulders. I remember carrying Lily. I remember carrying William, you know? And they were not crying or anything. It was just fun. I'm not sure. Well, I know I couldn't carry William anymore. Maybe I'd carry Lily, but William's up here. You know? He can carry me now. Anyway, God is the God of love. And I remind you again, I realize they walked out of Egypt, but the point is, wasn't God there to protect them? Yeah, he was. Of course, God was. And he did. He protected them. But Israel forgot, and they complained, and they mistrusted God over and over. How about us? How about us, brethren? You and me. Do we think that God, yeah, he was there then, I remember, you know, I read about in the Bible, you know, he took them out of Egypt, everything was cool. But, excuse me, that was then. This is now. Oh, I have real problems. You know, you think about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they had real problems. I'm not saying that you or I, or Suzanne, I'm not saying that we don't have real problems, we do. But if God took care of them then, why would God not take care of us now? I get the feeling at times that we think, So let's turn to Mark 9. Turn to Mark 9. I want to show you something that Jesus did, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's see what Jesus did. Mark 9. I love this story. I love it because it's so very human. Human. We'll start at Mark 9, verse 23, and we won't read the whole story. I know you guys have read this before, but I want to jump into the heart of the story where Jesus heals the boy. He heals the man's son. The son had problems. He had real problems. Real problems. And okay. Jesus heals the boy, but I want us, all of us, to see ourselves in the story. So verse 23 of Mark 9, Jesus said to him, that was the man whose son had the problem. Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, if you can believe, can you believe? If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, and this is the point, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If you don't see yourself there, I'm talking to the wrong group of people. I see myself there. Lord, I believe. I trust our Father in heaven, our elder brother. I do. But God, help my unbelief. Help my weakness. Help my inadequacy. We're there. We're all there. Not one of you is any different than me, and I'm not any different than you. We're all inadequate. But God is not inadequate. Jesus heals the boy. And I want to make sure that we can see ourselves in that reality. To me, this sounds like a lot of us today. Continuing in Mark 9, verse 24-25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, you know, to see this miracle, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And then the spirit cried out, because they're real, and convulsed the kid greatly and came out of him. And the kid became as one that was dead, so that many said, well, he's dead, you know, all done. But Jesus took the boy by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose, and he was okay, and it was okay. Without going into any more detail, notice that the father was pretty much like you and me, I think. He wanted his son healed. He wanted that healing. He knew Jesus was really powerful and could do it. But he also knew that he wasn't special at all, not very special. And maybe he shouldn't even be talking to Jesus. Yet he took a chance. And he said to Jesus, help my unbelief. Can't we pray that very exact same prayer today? We're inadequate. We can't do much. We're just human. But God can. God can do whatever he wants. And when he doesn't do what we want, right then, right that second, is that because he doesn't care? Well, he cared about Israel in the old, and he cares about us today. He cares all the time. It's our inadequacy. Not about the healing. God's got a plan. God's going to take care of everything. But we're so limited in our vision. Brethren, ask and it shall be given to you. The Father asked for help. He needed help. And Jesus, our compassionate Lord and Savior, he provided what the Father needed right then and there. And there's all sorts of messages involved in that, and I'm not going to go into that. But I will say that we all need help. But when we pray, do we pray? Do we pray? Do we pray? Do we study? Do we meditate? Do we really get into it? Do we? I won't ask how much do we watch TV. I won't ask that. I won't ask how much do you watch TV. How much do you Worry about other things. How might I won't ask. But I think that maybe we all do that a little bit too much. The world's not getting any better. It's not. It's getting worse. And the worseness out there can affect us in here. That's reality. I want to return to Deuteronomy 32, just a little bit, and I'll be done. When we do, let's remember some of the really good stuff that God promised Israel when he said, come out of Egypt and I'm going to take you to the promised land. Let's look at some of the physical stuff that God promised. Deuteronomy 32, and I want to read verses 13 and 14. Now, I realize this is part of what is called the Song of Moses. I realize that. And Moses recited it or wrote it down when he realized that God really was going to take care of Israel when God brought Israel into the promised land. God says, look, Moses, I want you to write this down. He did. So Deuteronomy 32, verse 13, God made Israel ride in the heights of the earth so that Israel might eat the produce of the flocks of the fields. He made them draw honey from the rock. And here I have to break in, Ray's not here today, Ray Emenheiser. But I went up with Ray Emenheiser to the hills in Santee, and we drew honey out of the rocks because there was a wild hive of bees up there. And he said, Skip, will you come up here and help me? And, you know, and Ray got all dressed up and took the honey out of the rocks. I stood kind of by the wall over there because the bees are all over the place. But Ray drew honey out of the rocks. And this was one of the things that God promised to Israel. You don't need hives. All you need is where the bees are. You know, the bees make honey because God made bees to make honey. You know? And it works. So anyway, where am I? And he made him draw honey from the rock. And also, and this is interesting when I wrote this down, continuing, and oil from the flinty rock. And every time I saw oil from the flinty rock, I thought, oil from the flinty rock? Wait a minute. What kind of oil are they talking about? All I could think about was petroleum, you know. Petroleum comes from flinty rock, you know, but I'm not sure if that's what God meant there. Maybe one of you erudite scholars can tell me what God was talking about afterwards. And then going on, verse 13, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock with fat of the lambs. These are physical blessings that God promised to Israel. Real stuff that we can eat. I like to eat it. And rams of the breed of Bashan. Bashan's a really good breed if you know anything about cattle or goats or any of that stuff. With the choicest wheat. And I was talking to somebody earlier. What's the difference in kind of wheat? I don't know anything about, wheat, but some people do. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. Obviously a metaphor, but, you know, good grape wine. Made into good, real wine, you know. God promised great natural riches to Israel. Brethren, God promises the same to us. Do you believe that God wants to bless you? Do you believe it? Think of the Father in Mark 9. Help my unbelief. Are we really any different from that Father? Nah, we all need help. After Moses thanked God, what happened? Do you know what a swan song is? I asked Suzanne. She knew what a swan song. Swan songs, what you sing at the end. It's the end, you know, the end of. And that was the end of Moses. That was the end of Moses' physical leadership. And after that, who took over? You know that guy, Joshua? Joshua took over, and that's a story for another time. But God did not leave Israel without leadership, and he didn't leave Israel without love. Because God, as we've said before, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to finish up. I got a minute or two. Let's read a little bit more of Deuteronomy 32. Now, I'm going back in time. Actually, it's longer down, but Moses wrote this down, and it's a referral to something happened in the back. So go to Deuteronomy 32, and we'll read verses 15 through 18. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat. Jeshurun. Who's Jeshurun? Well, who's Israel? Who's Jacob? Jacob, Israel, and Jeshurun are all code words for the same group of people, okay? I don't want to go into that and prove that and talk to somebody that's more intelligent than me afterwards if you want the proof. But Jeshurun grew fat. Have you ever seen how much physical stuff America has compared to the rest of the world? We have everything. Brimful, overflowing, we have everything. And Susanna and I, not often, but you know, we went to Africa once and we saw people didn't have anything. And they were grateful for the little bit that they had. You know? Jeshurun grew fat. God says, you grew fat, you grew thick, you were obese. Brethren, we're still the richest country in the world. And Britain, even though their problems are as big as ours or bigger, they're blessed too because they're Jeshurun as well. Yet, we forsook God who made us. And we scornfully esteemed the rock of our salvation. They, or we provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations. We provoked them, the Father and Son, to anger. Verse 17, they, or we, the United States and BC, we sacrificed to demons. Xmas, Astarte Sunday. Hollow evening. What do we celebrate in the United States? Ghastly. To gods that we or they never knew. We were never taught to worship Xmas. Never. I did, but God did not teach Israel to worship phony pagan holy days. But we did. To new gods, new arrivals, woke gods, that your fathers never should have even ever thought about. Verse 18, of the rock who begot you. Who's the rock? The rock is Jesus. Of the rock who begot you. You are unmindful. Hopefully he's not talking to any of us in here, but the world outside, you know, my neighborhood still got Christmas decorations all over the place. You know, very pretty, very pretty. I remember, sorry, Father. I remember when, before 15 was built and we were going to We were going skiing, and we drove through Las Vegas. You know, 15 wasn't there yet. We're driving through Las Vegas. Lily's 2-year-old girl, and she looks up there, and she goes, "Oh, that's so beautiful." Suzanne and I are looking at each other going, what's she talking about? She goes, "That girl, she's so beautiful." I look up there and I go, "Ah, got no clothes on, you know, but she's an innocent little girl. She's looking at the, you know, seeing the costumes are dangly and all this stuff, and, you know, I go, whoa, you know," and it knocked me over. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in today. You have forgotten the rock who begot you. We have forgotten the God who fathered us. And yet Jesus is still that God. We've forgotten God. At least much of the U.S. and B.C. has forgotten God. But what about God? What about God? Has God forgotten us? That's the question. Has God forgotten us? Two more scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 46. Now, this is quite a few years after, you know, God had talked to Moses and Moses talked to God. But Isaiah 46, verse 4. Isaiah 46, verse 4. And Isaiah writes down something that God said, "Even to your old age, Skip, I am he. And even to gray hairs or no hairs, I will carry you. I will carry you." This is what God's saying to us. God's saying, if you believe me, if you believe me, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry, and I, God, will deliver you. Because God doesn't forget. One more scripture, or maybe two. Psalm 48, verse 14. Look at this. "For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide," listen to this, "even unto death." Even unto death. Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Can we do this? "Cast your burden on the Eternal, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." So we asked at the beginning, how can we be sustained and assured of our promised future eternal life? I hope that, like the father of the kid who had a serious problem with a demon, even though we're just weak human beings, we can see that God is powerful. Powerful enough and loving enough to sustain you and me. But God, both Father and Son, they want to be asked. So let's do it. Remember, ask. And you shall receive.